A reading from the Gospel of John. Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple. But no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, there's a technical legal point here that the Pharisees raise, because in Judaic law, two witnesses were needed to prove a case, and the point they make is that Jesus is testifying for himself with no second witness, which is perfectly true in merely human terms, as Jesus himself points out. But he makes a claim that is really pretty audacious, to the effect that the second witness is his Father, whom his accusers don't know. And there it is. That's the pivot on which the whole story turns. Because if we don't see God as Father, we can't recognize Jesus as Son. And if we don't recognize Jesus as Son, then his death on the cross is no longer the gateway to salvation through the resurrection. It's just, well, just is not the right word. It is the terrible, cruel death of an innocent man, which is bad enough in all conscience, but that's not the basis for our faith. Cross, of course, is crucial. Our new Pope spoke about this in his first homily. When we walk without the cross, he said, when we build without the cross, when we profess Christ without the cross, we are not disciples of the Lord. And he prayed then that we might walk, build, profess Jesus Christ crucified. He called the one glory. Glory. Now, that's a word whose etymology is not actually clear. We know, of course, it comes from the Latin gloria, but we don't know where gloria comes from. But the lexicographers tell us that this is the word that's used in biblical texts to translate a word in Hebrew that carries a major sense of magnificence, of majesty, but also of brightness. And brightness is a quality of light. So, there you are. The cross takes us right back to what Jesus was saying at the very beginning of this passage, that he is the light of the world. Well, it's no wonder, really, that the Pharisees had trouble understanding him, poor souls. This is a man who transforms an instrument of torture, of slow, painful death, into a source of light, of brightness, of glory. Light. This is one of the most powerful images all the way through the Bible. At the very beginning of Genesis, it's verse 3 of the first chapter, God says, Let there be light. making the very first act of creation. And here's Jesus, the Son, claiming to be the light, promising that if we walk with him, we need never fear the darkness. Now, at the point where this reading begins, Jesus had just freed the woman caught in adultery. He'd just shown, as so often he did, his immense generosity to sinners. And we can all thank God for that, because we all need that generosity. But for the Pharisees, there's a legalistic argument to be faced. It's not a question of mercy, it's a question of judgment. And look how Jesus answers them. He answers them in their own legalistic language. Look how he structures his response. Twice he says, even if, yet, even if this is true, yet that is important. And he leaves them looking pretty silly with their fatuous question, where is your father? They can't understand him. However clever and studious they may be, because they've lost the capacity to be simple and humble, what Jesus calls, according to different translations, little ones, children, babies. I'm thinking of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, where Jesus says at verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. I don't think he means babies just a few months old. The Jewish Bible translates this word charmingly as ordinary folks. Not the Pharisees with all their learning and their study and their cleverness, but ordinary folks like you and me. And the very last sentence here tells us that Jesus' hour had not yet come. Well, we're in the fifth week of Lent, and that hour is drawing near. We still have 10 precious days to meditate on his words as we prepare for the Easter Triduum. Don't let's waste these days. Let's walk in the light of Christ towards the darkness of Good Friday and then the glory of the resurrection.